Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Let's Blame Dougie Berman department here at Car Talk Plaza.
I have no idea what it is, but I like it already.
Well, it happens to be a letter from someone named Mrs. Jill Cobasi, and the subject line is, you ready for this? Dougie Berman, bad influence.
Duh.
Well, look, listen to this. Her complaint is to do with Dougie Berman being the subway fugitive.
Yeah.
You remember?
Of course I do.
He was being detained by the Metro Police in Washington.
I remember it.
Because he was eating a five-course breakfast in the subway?
In the subway, exactly.
But then the officer got distracted by some other moron eating an apple in the subway, and Dougie made his break for it.
Yeah, like Cleavon Little in Blazing Saddles.
Exactly. Well, Jill writes, my teenage daughter, Minnie, called me after she and her girlfriends attended a New Kids on the Block concert at what shall remain an unnamed casino in New Jersey, probably the one owned by Donald Trump. She explained that she had just become the casino fugitive. Turns out she had been detained by the casino police after using the men's room because there was a line of 200 women waiting for the ladies' room.
Yeah.
So a cop entered the men's room and demanded that she desist. Well, yeah. She was not in a position to desist at that moment. But when she did give herself up, she was held and told that she would have to leave the casino and the very expensive concert.
Oh. Mm.
She explained to me that she was saved when the casino cop was distracted by 15 other women making a beeline themselves to the men's room. That's when she escaped. And she said, quote, just like Dougie Berman.
I like it.
She also told me that she then tripped and broke her toe on the way to her seat due to wearing stiletto heels. Probably not like Dougie Berman. You haven't seen Dougie lately. The question is, should I punish her? Or does she have a future in public broadcasting?
Gee, I don't know.
I think there's no doubt that she has a future in public broadcasting.
You do, huh? What makes you say that?
Well, because everyone has a future in public broadcasting. You can't see our faces. I mean, look at us.
Sure. Do you need They'll hire anybody.
Do you need any more evidence than that? You're all set, Minnie. Don't worry. Your future is assured.
You ain't kidding.
Anyway, if you have a question about your car or your fugitive child, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is Kate from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hey, Kate, you sound very chipper.
Yes, I'm at work today. I am chipper.
You're at work and that makes you chipper, eh?
It does.
Boy, the couch makes me chipper. Or my chipper shredder, I don't know. Anyway, what's going on?
Well, I have a 1994 Honda Accord, and a couple months ago, I walked into a store with my fiancé, and we came out and it was pouring down rain, and someone's car horn was blaring in the parking lot, and I was annoyed originally because I thought it was someone's angry husband waiting for his wife to come out of the store. And it was my car, and it didn't turn off, so we drove it down the block to a muffler man, and he didn't know what was wrong with it. He said, no, that's not your horn going off, and we were really confused because it was a blaring noise, like a brrrr, like just a constant, really loud noise.
He said it was not your horn. What was it?
He couldn't say. He was pressing underneath the grill, and I don't know what he was pressing on. It was like a disc underneath the grill, and the noise stopped, and he said, well, this is not your horn.
Well, it is your horn.
Oh, he didn't know what he was talking about then.
Well, this was a muffler shop?
Yeah.
Well,
it was the closest place to drive. Seriously, it was so loud, and people were looking at me like, what, this crazy girl is honking at
me. And when he pressed on this, he was able to change the tone or muffle it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he was deforming, I guess, the shell or the body of the horn, and as such was causing it to vibrate less. The way the horn works, it's a metal diaphragm that gets vibrated by an electromagnet.
Okay.
You know, so if you had stuffed a rag in there, that would have quieted it significantly. That's what we do to my brother when he makes things. <noise. laughs>
Okay, because it happened again when I was driving down the highway a couple weeks ago, and one of my friends just attached the horn, and now I don't have a horn, so I'm worried about getting it fixed because is it going to happen again?
Well, yeah, it is going to happen again, and you need a horn.
Right.
It's probably the horn pad, that thing that's on your steering wheel.
Okay.
That's the most likely thing. And sometimes that will come apart, and as it begins to disintegrate, it will essentially close the contacts on the horn and cause the horn to blow.
Okay.
So that would be the first thing I would look at.
Okay.
And in order to do that, someone's going to have to pull that thing off, but contained in that horn pad is the airbag, too. So it's probably not something you want to do yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. But the guys, the muffler shop's the wrong place.
I know. Yeah. It was the closest place I felt. My fiancé was, like, slinking down in his seat, like, oh,
now,
my God.
Wait a minute. This is very important. Your fiancé didn't man up here and didn't say, Kate, let me look at this.
No, I probably know more about cars than he does.
I understand that, but he's going to at least pretend he knows something about cars.
Yeah.
What does said fiancé do for a living?
Don't tell me.
He's a doctor.
Yeah, he draws blood. He's trying to get into med school.
Look at that. How did I know that?
He's a doctor, and he's afraid to get his hands dirty or injured.
That's injured. That's the real problem.
So he didn't know what this noise was, but he knew whatever it was likely to take off a fingertip.
Yes.
Yeah, so he didn't. He was slinking down in his chair, eh?
Yes. He was. He was very embarrassed.
Is there anything else about him that you don't like? Because this is the time to find this stuff out. You know, it's never too late.
No, we've dated for 7 years. It's time.
7 years.
Oh, 7 years.
So this is the first time he slinked down in his seat?
Yeah, actually, I think it was.
Well, it does say something, although I don't know quite what it is. But I'm sure, Kate, that you've made the right decision. You sound like a wonderful person, and I'm sure he is, too.
Yeah.
And just don't scare him with these loud noises anymore.
Yeah, I know. I'll try not to. I'll
see,
get that fixed.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, boy.
888. Oh, boy is right.
888. I know. I was causing trouble there, wasn't I?
Oh, yeah.
I just thought that as the guy, I mean, not that this would be the province of guys, but at the very least, if you were in a car with your fiancé.
Yes.
And something will go.
Which one?
Your current fiance. Wouldn't you at least pretend to? Well, let me open the hood and look.
I would certainly do that.
Yeah.
She would expect. She would expect me to do that.
Let's go someplace else. What if the garbage disposal were making noise? There were noises coming out of the sink.
Yeah.
Would you be slinking into a corner, or would you be jumping in there trying to figure out what it is?
Slinking.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Never mind. Uncle. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sue calling from Southbury, Connecticut.
Southbury? Where's that?
Well, it's in the Triberry area. There's Middlebury, Roxbury, Danbury, Waterbury, Southbury.
Yeah.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
So what's on your mind today, Sue?
Well, back in September, we bought a 2005 Ford Freestyle, and I love it. It's my car, and I just love it.
I do. I love that car, too. I was sad when they stopped making it.
Yeah, I'm really sad they don't make it anymore, too. But the problem comes in that because we also have a 17-year-old son.
Ah.
He doesn't like the car. I think he has something against it. He thinks it's, you know, like this big, beefy SUV. I kind of see it as a big, beefy station wagon. And so in the first 3 months that we owned this car, he bashed it 3 times.
Well,
now, not seriously, you know, he wasn't even on the road.
And not on purpose. Oh, he dropped things on it from his room? What?
Well, one time he was sliding out of the driveway in, you know, December in Connecticut. And, too fast.
Mm-hmm.
The other time it was like he was backing up and just didn't see that stone wall and, you know, stuff like that.
So these weren't malicious assaults. They were just...
Well, not consciously malicious. I think there's some subliminal thing going on there.
that could be.
So after the third time, anyway, I was like, okay, that's it. You know, third time, if 3 strikes and you're out, you need your own car. But it has to be... The reason he was driving my car is that he's also a jazz musician. He's a bass player. So he has string bass, right?
Stand-up bass.
A stand-up bass, exactly.
Yeah.
So he has to cart this thing around to gigs, and I'm so happy that he's, you know, doing professional gigs and stuff. But he's got that, and he's got the amplifier, and maybe sometimes the electric bass case, and maybe sometimes even a music stand. So we've been casting about for the kind of car to get him.
Well... I can't think of a better car than an 05 Freestyle.
Yeah, maybe you can get a used one.
Yeah, I mean.
Really used.
Yeah, really used.
No, but I will tell you one thing. I know he plays stand-up bass, and I know it might look a little odd, but they do make a stand-up bass that folds.
Right.
And it's electronic.
Yeah.
And it's basically a stick.
Yeah.
And it folds in half.
It's not a real bass.
Yeah.
Walks like a bass, talks like a bass, sounds like a bass. It's a bass.
A bass has to be big and heavy.
There's some cachet to that big old piece of wood up there, you know.
Oh yeah, we have a bluegrass band, and we don't play much anymore because nobody wants to listen to us. But but when we
even us,
but when we did play, we assigned the instruments based on IQ, and my brother got the bass.
We've invested so much in this bass, it's like I can't go and purchase another one at this point. But,
no.
And the other thing is, too, he has his future is in music and as a jazz musician, and he already knows he's going to be broke for, like, a lot of his life.
So why doesn't he get the freestyle and you get something new, Sue?
Because he hates the freestyle.
He's funny. It's like cosmetics don't count, but on the other hand, we had a chance to buy for $500. Apparently, it got great mileage. It was a PT Cruiser.
Oh, no.
And I looked inside that thing, and I'm like, oh, my God, this would fit everything. And he turned his nose up on that so fast.
Oh, no.
Here's what you do. You go to the mall.
PT Cruiser is a great vehicle.
No.
Well, that's what I tried to tell him. But, this one was like dark maroon. It looks like an eggplant on wheels.
Here's what you do. You go to the mall. And you buy him a pair of Clark Wallabies. You know what those are? With that crepe sole? And say, it's either these or the freestyle. he'll warm up to the freestyle if the offer is couched in the right terms.
Right, exactly.
Not to demean Clark's Wallabies. They're wonderful. But it's either them or the freestyle.
Right.
And I think the freestyle is perfect because it really is a lot roomier than the PT Cruiser.
Really? Not like a Subaru or an old Audi wagon or some old beater Volvo or something?
An old beater Volvo might be all right. That would be, Volvo wagon. They're great. You can put easily put a stand-up bass. In fact, you can put a stand-up bass in a Volvo sedan if you try hard enough. You won't be able to play it ever again. But you
exactly.
You do it once.
Right. Those hammers.
Who needs a bridge of strings?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So you can look at Volvo wagons. Those are certainly nice. But I think he may end off taking your freestyle. He'll love it. Once he personalizes it and it's his own.
Oh, he's personalized it all right.
No, with the dents. I mean, in some other ways. I don't know. Well, good luck,
right,
Sue.
Right.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much.
Oh, yeah,
take
sure.
Bye bye.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Bruce calling from beautiful Swansea, New Hampshire.
Bruce from Swansea.
Swansea's a great town.
Really?
Yeah. It's named after a town in Wales, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's up, Bruce?
Well, Molly Mae Miata was one of the first ones into the country in July 1989 when I bought her.
This is your Miata that you named Molly Mae?
Yeah.
Molly Mae, okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry, did I groan? So what's going on with her?
Okay, Molly spends the winters in the garage because her encounters with snow have been nothing short of terrible. And so now I find after a number of years, she goes into the garage in the wintertime and she comes out and I get the oil changed and I drive her and she runs just fine. But my question is, after a lot of years, should I do anything else? Like, she's about to turn 21, so maybe she's earned a day at the spa. But if she goes to the spa, what should I have done with her? And especially in those other sort of precious bodily fluids like transmission oil and radiator fluid and all that other stuff that I don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many miles on Molly Mae?
108,000.
And it's probably time to have all of her bodily fluids changed.
Yeah.
And then you should look for signs of deteriorating rubber parts.
Really?
Yeah. And not the least of which is the tires.
No, tires are always in good shape or else I don't get an inspection sticker.
Yeah. Well, the tread can be good, but, tires that are more than like 6 or 7 years old break down.
Yeah, well, they're not.
They're not. Okay, so that's it.
Well, that's pretty easy. That'd
it
be
is
a nice
in good
day.
Shape.
It is pretty easy. And, of course, belts and hoses and whatnot.
Right.
But generally, it's been our experience that the hoses on these cars like lots of Japanese cars, never go.
Hmm.
So I think you're good, man.
Sounds like a good day at the spa.
So how many weeks a year do you get to drive your car?
Well, you know, this is New Hampshire, so the snow starts flying about Labor Day and finishes melting about Memorial Day. No.
5 weeks then. Okay.
That's great.
Actually, typically, she comes out of the garage sometime in early March.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, by that time, the snow is mostly gone. And, you know, if snow comes back, she goes into the garage until the snow melts again. But
yeah.
I've typically gotten her out in early March, and then she goes in. Well, she's got to get an inspection in December. And usually I can get an inspection in as long as I schedule it for December 1st.
Yeah. And what's your other car?
And you're driving it right up till December 1st?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But I don't end up putting that many miles on her now. I put about 5,000 miles a year, maybe.
Yeah. And what's the other car that you're driving?
Well, we've got a Prius, and I have a Subaru Forester.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
That's a New Hampshire state car.
that's about it. But we need to have the all-wheel drive, especially on our hill.
Oh, that's for sure. Well, good luck, and enjoy your Miata.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, and I think you're on the right track, but check all those fluids and get them changed, whether they think they need them or not. It's time.
Will do.
All right, see you, Bruce.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, it's time for us to take a break, and when we come back, we'll answer last week's puzzler. I hate to ask this, but do you happen to remember it?
Technically speaking, no.
How about any other kind of speaking?
No.
All right, well, last week's puzzler was about a bet between two guys working in a gas station, and we'll have all the details and, of course, more of your calls in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
I bought a Firebird coupe, didn't cost too much. She's got a rusted out rear and a messed up clutch. Really needs a paint job and a muffler too. And a pair of fuzzy dice hanging from the rear view. If it passes inspection, should be a ride worth bragging. A cruise around town in a station wagon.
And even though babies everywhere take their first steps just to turn off the radio whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. You ready?
This is a good one.
Well, I thought it was pretty good.
I'm
sure we'll get 9,000 letters to the contrary. Anyway, Tim and Jethro had jobs at the newest self-service gas station in town. And since the Farmer's Almanac had predicted that this would be the coldest winter since the last ice age, they were happy to be working indoors while the customers pumped their own gas.
Mm.
And, in fact, this station was so modern, it even had a video camera for each of the pumps. So they could monitor the customers and almost never have to step outside. The video cameras were mounted overhead, and they were set up to show just the rear of each car as it rolled up to the pumps.
Mm-hmm.
That's so they could see the license plates, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, when the boredom of their jobs finally set in, they invented a little game. And the game was to guess which car pulled up with its fuel door on the wrong side. In other words, you know, some cars have the filler door on the right side and some have it on the left. And most of us can't remember which side our fuel door is on. And if you don't pull in with your fuel door on the same side as the pump, you have to back out and turn around and do all that maneuvering, right?
Yeah.
Now, as I said, the video camera showed only a straight-on shot of the back of the car. And at no time could Jethro or Tim see the sides of any of the cars where the fuel doors are. And they had to make their bets before the driver shut off the key and exited the vehicle and got out and smacked himself in the head, which was too strong a hint that they had pulled in the wrong way, you know? Well, Jethro, it turns out, was correct about 99% of the time, and Tim was correct about 50% of the time because he was just guessing. And Jethro claimed he could tell from the license plates, but he was just pulling Tim's leg, of course. So what did Jethro see that enabled him to tell when a driver had pulled up to the pump with the fuel door facing the wrong side?
And be 99% right.
Yeah. Well, it turns out that 99% of the time, the fuel door is on the opposite side of the car as the tailpipe.
Yeah, we did a little survey of this driving down the street.
Yeah, there are certainly some exceptions to this, but in the vast majority of cars, if the fuel door is on the left, the tailpipe and certainly the muffler is on the right. So by being able to see the back of the car and seeing the exhaust, don't forget it was wintertime, you see that exhaust spewing out, Jethro could say, okay, this guy has pulled up so that the fuel door he thinks is on the right, but his tailpipe is on the right. He's pulled up on the wrong side of the pump.
So, and the 1% might have been cars with two tailpipes.
Yeah, there are some trucks that are exceptions, but the vast majority of cars have the fuel door on the opposite side as the tailpipe. Do we have a winner?
We certainly do. Our winner this week is Amos Perrine from Charleston, West Virginia. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Amos is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get a copy of our latest CD, Tales of the Brothers Grime.
All right, this is a collection of stories we've told on the air, including the time I took my wife for a leisurely drive to Cape Cod in the middle of an absolutely blinding blizzard.
Which prompted her to call the show and remind you that you're a what?
An idiot. And we have it on tape just for you.
Congratulations, Amos.
We'll have a new puzzler coming up later in the show. But if you'd like to talk about your car, you can do that right now by calling us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Veronica calling from Alexandria, Virginia.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Not bad.
Not bad.
What's going on?
Well, I have a 99 Mercury Grand Marquis with about 115,000 miles on it. And when I try to start it, the engine will crank, but it won't fire unless I give it a lot of gas while I'm turning the key.
Was this Grandpa's car?
Well, it's actually my boyfriend's car, and it's a funny story because...
How old is he?
25.
Oh.
And he picked it out himself, you know, from a whole car lot full of cars. The intent, as the story goes, was to get a Corolla, but, you know, he couldn't pass this one by, so...
Well, this is kind of a geezer car.
It is, you know, but it's not bad to drive, and actually a lot of cabs are that model around here, and so I've been hailed a few times while I've been driving it.
Yeah, you pick up a few extra bucks if you need it. So let's go back to your problem. You turn the key.
Yes.
And what does it do?
It kind of cranks. It, you know, makes a sound, and sounds like it wants to catch, but it won't catch unless I step on the gas pretty hard while I'm turning the key.
Oh, really?
And I did have AAA come look at it at one point when this happened, and I got stuck at work, and he did the same thing. He stepped on the gas, you know, and got it started, and then it runs pretty okay. It also seems to not want to start more often when the engine is already warm.
Okay. Yeah, I think you have leaky injectors.
Okay.
And what's happening is when you say you're stepping on the gas, you're stepping on it and holding it down.
Yes.
Right. Because basically it's flooded.
Okay.
So let's assume that, you know, each cylinder has an injector, a fuel injector, and when you turn the key off, the injectors no longer get an electrical pulse and they stop injecting.
Okay.
But your car doesn't because they're old and leaky, probably like the trunk. And so what's happening is the injectors are dripping gasoline.
Okay.
When they shouldn't be, and then when you try to start it, it's flooded. And because you probably learned, I'm sure your boyfriend knows this too, if you try to start a flooded car, the easiest way to do it is to hold the gas pedal all the way to the floor and let more air in.
Right.
So you kind of neutralize that flooding condition.
Okay.
So I think that's what's happening.
Okay. So the key would be to replace the injectors then.
Yeah, until you find out how much they cost.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you'll sell the car.
And go and find that Corolla you should have been buying. You should have been driving.
Exactly.
But it's not cheap.
So bring it in and get an estimate.
Well, it may not be all the injectors. It may only be like seven of them.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, good luck, but find out what it's going to cost. And it's easy enough to pull them out and find out which ones are dripping.
I see. Okay.
Okay. Good luck, Veronica.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Boy, howdy, am I glad to get to talk to you.
Oh, you might not be in a minute. Who's this?
Oh, this is Jim from Marshtown, Tennessee.
Hi, Jim.
Tennessee.
Boy, we ought to guess you're from Tennessee.
What's up?
All righty, man. What I have is a 1992 midlife crisis Chrysler LeBaron convertible.
Do you really?
Yeah, but Here's the bad part. My son pinched my keys.
Uh-huh.
Because he had a heavy date in the middle of the night.
Ah.
And his heavy date picked up even two heavier friends. west side of town when they caught the eye of a police officer.
Uh-huh.
He made eye contact with that police officer, and my boy took a ride on a light industrial park road in Florida.
Uh-huh.
He hit three sets of railroad tracks that are bundled together, though, really rough.
And it's no longer a convertible anymore. It's just topless, right?
Well, I tell you what, they didn't pull no Dukes of Hazzard. They was too heavy to get airborne. But the good part is it ran after that.
Uh-huh.
And he stopped, let the two ladies off in the back, put the car into reverse, put it in drive, took the other one home, put it in reverse, and put it back into drive, and it just slap quit moving.
So where's the car now? Parked in front of her house?
No, in his infinite wisdom, he gave it a hillbilly tow. They tied a rope to it and put it on the back of his buddy's Lexus. Yeah, I know it was his car because I got the imprints in the front of mine.
Okay.
But the body damage, that ain't what's getting me. I'm wondering about that transmission.
So the car is now where, in your driveway?
Yes, sir. I got it to the house, and I backed all the way around the block and backed it in.
Okay.
She'll go in reverse, and she'll run in reverse, but that's the only gear I have.
Oh, really? And when you move the shifter, does it feel like it's going into the other gears?
Yeah, it feels like it's going into gear, and I had the wife inside of it.
Uh-huh.
She got it to lurch forward, like, once or twice, but that's been the extent of it. Now, I pulled the pan. It's got all the fluid. I measured the fluid to come out of it.
Yeah. What else fell out when you pulled the pan? And any pieces of clutches, gears, bearings?
Not a thing. There was something in there that looked like a honeycomb, and it scared me, so I put it back on.
Oh, boy. Well, how many miles were on this thing before the this heavy date?
140,000.
I mean, I don't know precisely what happened, and I'm not sure that it didn't have more to do with him driving at excessive speed than going over the railroad tracks.
Uh-oh.
He may have just burned out the transmission, and it's often the case that you can lose the forward gears in a transmission and not lose reverse.
Oh, okay.
So my guess is that you need a full-blown transmission rebuild or a replacement. Now, you shouldn't have too much trouble finding a transmission for this thing.
I made a couple of phone calls, and they said $1,700 to $1,500.
Oh, for the part itself.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, I could believe that. So was this car originally yours, Jim?
No, it was owned by the Dodge dealer. The service manager owned it. Owned it all its entire life till I bought it.
Oh.
Really? Oh, so it's probably been taken care of pretty well until your son drove it.
Right.
Yeah. I think he cooked it, so I think you're going to spend $1,500 and a few weekends on your back trying to get this thing replaced.
All right.
That's your best bet.
Okay, I appreciate that. I'll forward the information to the house and have him start disassembling it right away.
Yeah, exactly. Get your son right on this. This will be a valuable lesson for him. Number one, don't try to run from the cops. And number two, don't speed. And number three, don't wreck Dad's car.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, good luck, man.
All right.
See you, Jim. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julia.
Hi, Julia.
Julia.
What's going on? Where are you from, anyway?
Long Beach, California.
Long Beach. Okay.
Yeah.
We're with you. Go ahead.
So we have a 2001 Camry,
mm-hmm.
and we're giving it to our daughter for college graduation gift.
Oh, big spenders.
Well, it gets better.
I'm sure.
But the car smells like cat pee.
And it smells like cat pee because... cats have been peeing in it?
Well, yeah. We have a cat, Cha-Cha, and Cha-Cha got into a fight with Caesar. And
who's
so
Caesar?
Had...
Caesar a dog?
No, Caesar's the big cat in the neighborhood.
Oh.
Yeah. Cha-Cha's very anxious anyway. And so I wrapped him up in a towel. This is about 9 months ago. And we took him to the vet, and he just sprayed all over the car.
Oh, sure. He just got the snot beat out of him by Caesar. I'd be peeing myself, too.
I know. And so my husband's been enduring this for about 9 months.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. He's a good guy.
Has he started to meow yet?
And are all the windows always open?
They are.
All winter?
Always. And unfortunately, the sunroof is broken, so we can't do that one. So we thought, my daughter actually graduated from college, and she got a job.
Ooh.
And so we thought, well, we'll give her this car.
Oh, I'm sure she's thrilled about it.
What did I do to deserve this? Okay, yeah, so?
So she's not liking it too much, and we've had the car detailed a couple times, and I changed the floor mats.
Uh-huh.
But the smell just keeps coming back.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I mean, cat pee, especially male cat pee, is impossible to get out.
It lasts forever.
Yeah, the only thing that we know that works reasonably well
fire.
Is a hydrogen ball.
You could set the thing on fire.
Yeah.
And that might do it.
I mean, you might. Yeah, I mean, you can try this stuff called Nature's Miracle that's supposed to break it down, but and it may.
Miracle.
Yeah, because it probably causes brain lesions. You know, I don't know what it does, and I don't know, but it's got some enzymes in it that will attack the stuff. I mean, but why are you calling us?
Well, you guys know everything.
Did you get to see where Cha-Cha sprayed? Was it
no.
The back seat, the front seat, the carpet?
Well, I was holding him in a towel, so it was kind of like on me. Maybe I'm the problem. I don't know.
But are you sure it's... I mean, was it immediately apparent after, you know, because it could be mold growing in the car if you left the window open and it rained in the car?
No, it's very distinct.
Well, I'll tell you, mold is a very distinct odor, too, and you should have somebody who's expert. And I'd go to an air conditioning place.
Okay.
Because they know mold, because it's often the case that debris gets trapped in the evaporator of the air conditioner, and when mold spores start to grow there... It can go from being perfectly okay one day to smelling so obnoxious the next day that you can't get in the car.
Wow.
So maybe you're blaming Cha-Cha
for
something that Cha-Cha didn't do. I mean, I'd be surprised if Cha-Cha peed into the towel.
Yeah.
How's the towel smell now?
I threw it out.
Well, you didn't set it on fire?
threw it in the trunk of the car. Well, so it may be that it isn't Cha-Cha. Maybe it's mold, and it just may be a coincidence.
So maybe I'm blaming him for nothing.
Yeah. So I would go to a shop that does the air conditioning and tell them, let them smell it.
Yeah.
And you can tell them the story. And if they think it's unequivocally mold, then they can spray stuff into the vents where the cowl is.
Mm-hmm.
And they can probably kill some of that stuff.
Oh, excellent.
You know? And if they can't, they'll put in stuff that will kill you.
Or my daughter.
Oh, your daughter. Yeah. But if in fact it is cat pee and you're really determined to keep the car, you can just replace the interior. You can go to a junkyard and you can buy a new rug and you can buy new seats.
Okay.
And you could have somebody just rip all that stuff out and put new stuff in. And they can fumigate the car while they're at it, you know.
Oh, spray that would be great.
Exactly, yeah.
Awesome.
Good luck.
It's better than
anyway, how is Cha-Cha?
Cha-Cha's a mess. He's very anxious, and he's all scabby, and it's just, we're kind of ready for him to go, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I know.
No. Just because he's all beat up and ugly. I mean, if that were the criterion, we would have gone like brother about 6 years ago. Have some compassion. see you, Julia.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, look, before we take a break and come back with a new puzzler, I know you'll be glad to learn that we have a new generation of listeners coming along.
Well, that's good, because we've pretty much worn out our welcome with the old one.
Just one?
One. That's it.
Well, a fellow named Matt writes to us, and he says, last week, I was eating breakfast with my 2.5-year-old son while your show was on in the background.
That's nice.
He looked up from his oatmeal and said, Daddy, is this car talk?
Pretty good. Great.
Yes, it is, I replied. Why do you ask? Because my head hurts, he said. Can you please turn it off?
That's what happens at my house.
Mine too. Anyway, when we come back, we'll have a brand new puzzler, which is the final puzzler of the puzzler season.
Wow. Is it going to knock my socks off?
Well, no. First of all, you're wearing sandals, you dope. You're not even wearing socks.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But it's from my English department series.
Oh.
And we'll take more of your car questions too in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
I certainly will.
Saw her in a junkyard, but she spoke to me. Fixed her up with diamond money. Planet Hill, she's a really girl, but she's just
And even though Ozzy Osbourne clearly enunciates, will you please turn that off whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And as I mentioned, this is the last Puzzler of this particular Puzzler season.
Oh.
And once this one's done, the Puzzler will be heading off on its usual summer vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Where it is our hope that it'll return relaxed, rested, and maybe even slightly less lousy.
There's always hope.
And speaking of lousy, here's the Puzzler.
Yeah.
This was sent in by a fellow named Wes Daniels, and it's about an unusual paragraph. And I'm going to read this paragraph to you, and of course you'll be able to read it yourself on our website.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and here it is. This is an unusual paragraph. I'm curious as to just how quickly you can find out what is so unusual about it. It looks so ordinary and plain that you would think nothing was wrong with it. In fact, nothing is wrong with it. It is highly unusual, though. Study it and think about it, but you still may not find anything odd. But if you work at it a bit, you might find out. Try to do so without any coaching. Okay?
Ooh.
I'll read it again.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah.
This is an unusual paragraph. I'm curious as to just how quickly you can find out what is so unusual about it. It looks so ordinary and plain that you would think nothing was wrong with it. In fact, nothing is wrong with it. It is highly unusual, though. Study it and think about it, but you still may not find anything odd. But if you work at it a bit, you might find out. Try to do so without any coaching. Now, if you think you know the answer, send it on a Brookstone lighted cantilevered 11-foot patio umbrella with full 360-degree rotation, pleated wind vents, rechargeable sub-canopy LED ambient lighting for evening socializing, and a 29-inch Firestone base with concealed wheels, and send it along with a 20-by-15 bluestone patio to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a question about your car, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. I'm Mary Beth from West Hartford, Connecticut.
Hi, Mary.
Mary Beth.
What's going on, Mary Beth?
West Hartford.
West Hartford, yes. Well, I did something really stupid a few weeks ago, and I said, who can I call for help? And I thought of you guys.
Who are the stupidest people I know?
So here's the scenario. I'm trying to get one kid from school, rushing in a storm to get another kid, realize I'm on empty, rush to the pump to get a couple of gallons of gas to make it 2 miles home. And in the midst of the storm and everything, I put in
diesel.
Exactly.
Oh,
and I have a 2008 Nissan Quest, wonderful minivan.
See, it couldn't happen to like a 1988 Hyundai.
I know. And I'm driving home in the storm. A tree went down. This cop is blocking a tree. I made it by the tree, and I'm losing power, and it's knocking, and it finally hit me what I did. And I pulled over on a side street and had the car towed to the dealer. $4,000 estimate.
$4,000?
$4,000. They want to replace everything.
Oh,
they're not replacing everything because everything's about $30,000.
Well, yeah. They want to replace things like the whole tank, the whole fuel system. I've contaminated everything. And then I saw online, other people said, no, just flush the tank and put a fuel cleaner. And one shop estimated $300, another shop $500 to $600. I called the dealer back because they also kind of threatened, saying, oh, if you don't do this, well, it'll void the warranty on your car.
So I already took care of that myself by putting the diesel in.
So what should we do? It's still sitting there.
You should do the $300 thing.
That's the one.
I mean, how much diesel did you put in it again?
6 gallons.
6 gallons. And you obviously drove it till it stopped running. So at that point, the diesel fuel had managed to get through the lines into the injector rail, into the injectors, and when they started to squirt that mixture of mostly diesel and a little bit of gasoline, the thing stopped running because the compression ratio isn't high enough to combust diesel. But okay. You didn't do any damage, really.
Oh, good.
No, I mean, all that you need to do at this point
is clean it up.
Is exactly. What we do when we have people who do this is we will usually pull the tank and drain it and flush it with some fresh gasoline.
Okay.
We flush out the lines by running the fuel pump, and we usually yank the injector rail and have it squirt. We energize the injectors and have the injectors all pulse and squirt and relieve themselves of all that diesel fuel until gasoline starts coming out.
Okay.
And then we put everything back together and start the car, and it's going to be fine.
Oh,
okay. You may have done or you may do some damage to the catalytic converter, but my guess is that you could just drive it, and it'll be fine.
Okay. And what about the warranty thing? What do you
warranty? Wait, you don't need no stinking warranties. No, I would take the car out of the dealership.
Okay.
Okay, I don't think they're going to do anything vis-a-vis your warranty.
Okay.
I would say, look, I'm going to take the thing home and think about it. I can't afford $4,000.
And they'll forget all about
you. They'll forget about you. Have the $300 guy do it, and your warranty will still be fine.
All
you didn't
right.
do anything to void the warranty, I don't believe.
Great.
Yeah, and
well,
in the meantime,
so
get one of those Dymo labels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, you put that on the
Yeah, put that
car.
right at the filler and put gasoline only on that little label. Got it, Mary Beth?
Got it.
All
Thank
right.
You
good
so
luck.
Much, guys.
Good
All right,
luck.
Take care.
See ya.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Bye-bye.
Well, you do feel pretty stupid.
You do.
Yeah.
But she made the right decision.
By calling us. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mark from Arlington, Massachusetts.
Hi, Mark from Arlington, Massachusetts. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
What's going on, man?
All right, my question is this. What is growing out of my tailpipe?
Ah.
Oh, you must have a Honda.
I don't. And
you don't.
I'm not growing any type of plants in there or anything.
That you know of. Maybe one of your neighbors is growing something in your tailpipe.
Okay, well, I guess that solves my question. my wife and I drive a Volvo S60 2004,
mm-hmm.
and we got it from a friend. And it's, 2004, and there's 30,000 miles on it. So it's a fairly young car.
Yeah. Yes.
My wife and I were out to dinner. We came back to the car. It was dark, but we saw some, feathers or something sticking out of the tailpipe. So my wife, I was afraid to pull it out, I admit. And my brave wife grabbed it and started yanking. And I was afraid there was going to be the neighborhood skunk in there somehow.
So wait a minute. You were there with your wife, and you didn't man up and pull on this? You made your wife do it?
I think my hands were full holding.
Oh, no. You could easily have handed whatever you were carrying to your wife, and you could have, Mark, you could have pulled on this thing, but you made her do it.
Yeah, so she pulled it, and after some resistance, she pulled out something that looked like a 2-foot-long, lock of black, white, and gray hair.
Yes.
And we both got kind of grossed out, drove home. It wasn't there anymore. A week later, we are parked in a parking lot, come back to the car, and the tail feathers are back.
You know what? I mean, it's probably not well known, but some of the gasoline companies are adding Rogaine to the gas as an octane booster, and it's growing hair in the exhaust system.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, apparently our car needs a shave.
Shave.
Yeah.
Well, what that is it's sound deadening material, and it looks just like hair. In fact, I've never seen it happen with a Volvo. And we service a lot of Volvos in our shop. We see it all the time with Hondas. And I imagine more and more companies are probably using it.
Okay, so it may or may not correspond to a rattling that has started over the past 2 weeks.
Oh, it may. It may have, in fact, come loose because some of the baffles around which this stuff is wound have come loose, and that's what freed it.
So how is it coming out of the tailpipe?
Well, it's in the muffler.
Okay.
And it's in the muffler, and what's also in the muffler are metal baffles, and this stuff is surrounding those baffles. And the baffles make, as the name implies, make the exhaust travel through kind of like a maze before it leaves the muffler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and in doing so, a lot of the noise is reduced because this material that's in there is absorbing the noise, so it makes a quieter car.
So is this something that is harmful to drive, or will it make it just louder, or is it something worth getting fixed?
Jeez, I don't. It's certainly not harmful.
No, it's not going to hurt anything.
It provides a good conversation for the neighbors.
Or a good good planter for their plants, whatever they're growing.
No, eventually the thing's going to get loud. I mean, eventually all this stuff is going to come out. And I think there's about 6.5 miles of that stuff in there. So you've got a ways to go. So when it all comes out, I think you'll notice that the car is decidedly louder.
Maybe my wife could just keep pulling this out and kind of braid something together or weave something together.
Oh, that would be interesting. It would,
you know, I'm sure this is an opportunity for someone to engage in muffler art. Because this stuff, right? Exactly. I think your wife may be the one to do it.
Well, I'll see you guys at the MoMA.
Certainly, exactly. Certainly not you, because you're afraid to touch the stuff. But you tell your wife to get on it.
Thanks a lot.
See you, Mark. Take
care.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jennifer from Lock Buoy, Colorado.
From who?
Lock Buoy.
Lock Buoy.
Sounds like it should be in Scotland.
It's named after the town in Scotland.
There you go. Ah. So what's going on, Jennifer?
Well, about 6 months ago, I noticed that somebody left a big, long scratch down the entire passenger side of my 2008 Ford Explorer.
Oh.
And the scratch ends in this big, white paint smudge. So I went home and I told my husband about it, and he said, well, nobody ever leaves notes. Yeah, so what can you do? It's just human nature. About 2 weeks ago, I was a passenger in his car while he's driving. He was pulling out of our driveway. I noticed that his driver's side mirror is exactly the height required to produce the scratch. and the paint color that somebody left on my car happens to be his paint color.
Get out.
Oh, what a coincidence.
And he didn't leave you a note?
Well, I immediately confronted him about it.
Yeah?
You know, he admitted to it, but he said it wasn't his fault.
Oh.
What do you mean it wasn't his fault?
He says that both cars are in my name, so really it's like me hitting myself, so I should be mad at myself.
Oh, no. Oh, is he a lawyer?
No.
He should be.
So should I make him fix this on my car? And if so, is there like a product that he could buy that has a lot of like sweat labor?
So you want it to be labor intensive, huh?
Yeah, it should be expensive and it should be really hard to do.
It should be hard to do. Boy, oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends. Now, if he just scratched what's called the clear coat.
No, it's beneath the clear coat.
Really?
I have a can of clear coat and I already tried to go that route and it's deep.
It's deep.
Mm.
Your car is an 08. It's a new car.
It's an Eddie Bauer Edition Ford Explorer.
To make it even worse.
Yeah.
What's your other car that he hit you with?
A 2003 Toyota Camry that somebody backed into.
I know what this is all about.
Oh, what is it about?
He's been relegated to driving this beat-up old Camry, and you're driving the Explorer, and he ain't happy.
Well, then he should get a job where he has to drive a Ford Explorer.
Yeah.
Oh, does he have a job at all?
Oh, yeah, he has a job. He has a great job.
I'm a
historian, so I live out of this thing, you know, probably 2 months out of the year while I'm doing field work.
Huh. You're an historian, and what is he?
He works in IT.
Oh, so this is interesting. He should be making more money than you are.
Oh, he is.
He is, and yet the two cars are yours and registered in your name.
I can't figure that out
either. Why doesn't this chiseler buy himself a car? Well, I think that he's going to have to... I'm kind of embarrassed for him that he didn't own up to it.
Well, and I kept on having, like, my friends, because you can see this paint smudge and the scratch from a mile away. So my friends would say, you know, somebody put a scratch in your car. You know, did they ever leave a note? And I'm like, oh, no. And this would be right in front of him, and he wouldn't say a word.
Oh, so I think the first thing you need to do, what's his name?
Dave.
I think you need to make a sign and stick it in the window and with an arrow pointed to the smudge and say, Dave did it.
Dave did this.
So people don't even have to ask anymore. Well, my Dave did this, not just any old Dave. And then I think he has to take it to the body shop to get it fixed, because if it's into the clear coat, then the thing's going to have to be painted.
How much is that? I mean, because obviously I'm not going to file an insurance
claim. The more, the merrier.
The more, the merrier.
It's coming out of his pocket.
Well, and he said that he would do whatever you guys said.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to be a little bit more forthcoming with information, especially when it concerns his wife.
Well, we've been together for 15 years. I'm going to find out eventually.
Well, sure.
Yeah, I could remind you about the story of my friend Pepe and his wife Antoinette, and when she smashed up his car. And I think that was about 15 years that she harbored that secret. and made him think that the snowplow had done it.
Yeah.
And then it ate away at her, Jennifer, and then finally she had to come clean one day. But I think the longer you let him get away with this, I think the worse it's going to be. He needs to straighten up and fly right.
Okay.
Yeah, tell him that. So that's the first thing he's got to do, and then he's got to pony up the money and have it fixed by a legitimate body shop.
Yeah, he's the type of guy who takes everything to some guy who works out of an alley.
Oh, yeah, no. You specify that it's going to the Ford dealer.
Oh, we have a good Ford dealership.
There you go. And they're going to charge him up the wazoo. So he's going to pay, and he's going to apologize.
Okay.
But I think before that, you know, he has to expose himself to the public humiliation of the sign.
I think that's a great idea.
Do you have a lot of friends who listen to Car Talk?
Tons.
Great.
Everybody listens to your show.
Yeah,
okay,
see,
that's
he's,
it.
He's been exposed to enough humiliation. Maybe the sign won't be necessary. Anyway, Jennifer, good luck, and hopefully this won't happen again.
I bet it won't.
Thanks for your call. Bye.
Thank you.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. You too, Thomas.
Yes.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Dave the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. There we go. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Moab, King Crab, Pork Slab, Condab, Kebab, Chill Tab, Chewy Cab, Broccoli Rab, No Flab, Lunch Grab is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our sensitive language advisor is Holly Schmidt. Our sculling coach is Rose Dior. Our obsessive yard care specialist is Moses Lonergan. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the early summer school dropouts in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And please, please, don't drive like my brother.
And please, please, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1026, stroll through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we explain the mysteries of regular maintenance.
What do you mean? Regular maintenance for you is plucking the parking tickets off the windshield and wiping the wet leaves off the front seat.
Yeah, I know. I mean maintenance for other people.
Oh. Well, if you've heard of things like brake jobs and coolant flushes, but don't know what they are, whether you need to do them, or whether they're things you can tackle yourself, you'll find all the answers this week at cartalk.com.
Can I do those things myself?
Yeah, right after you successfully find both cheeks in the shower.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though World Cup referees call random fouls on the American team whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.